I don't know. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of great churches in the United States of America. But without question, Shepherd Church, Agua Dulce, West Valley, West LA, and Porter Ranch is one of the greatest churches in the entire country. And I want you to know, I'm just blessed walking in here. I don't know about you. I just walk in here and I feel the blessing of God. I want you to thank on every campus, Agua Dulce, West Valley, West LA, and Porter, would you thank your worship teams and your special music? They are so good. I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful UCLA beat USC. It's just the way it should be. That's the way it should be. I've told you this many times. Every time UCLA wins, it's pure skill. And anytime USC wins, there's some cheating going on there. There's some cheating going on there. But I do want you to know I will be rooting for USC when they play Notre Dame next week. All right? So all you USC Trojan fans, I just want you to know that. Hey, get your Bibles out if you will. And turn to Ezekiel 33, Ezekiel chapter 33. Let me hear you say Ezekiel. And let me hear you say chapter 33. And inside your bulletin are some sermon notes. And as we always do here at Shepherd, we do this every week. We give you some paper and an outline, and we want you to take some notes. And hopefully you can follow along, and God will use those notes and this message to speak to you. I want to talk to you for a moment about the big picture. I want you to say big picture. Big. Say big picture. Big. This is some big picture type stuff, all right? And I want you to try to get your mind and your heart around the big picture. Now, this is the biggest picture I can draw for you. It begins in John chapter 3, verse 16, which is probably the most well-known verse and most quoted verse in the entire Bible. For God so loved the world. That means that God loved you, and he loved me. And it's not just you and me. Who does he love? He loves what? He loves the entire world. That he was willing to give up his one and only son, which is Jesus Christ, who goes to the cross and dies, sheds his blood for the sins of the world, that whoever, doesn't matter, believes in him, Jesus, will not perish, but will have what? That's the big picture. The very next verse says, you need to understand the next couple of verses. The next verse says, John 3:17, for God did not send, and make no mistake about it, God sent his son into this world. But God did not send his son into this world to condemn this world. And a lot of people think that. They have a negative view of God, that he's just this God who judges everything, and he's never happy. You have a misconception of God. The reason God sent his son into this world was not to condemn this world, but to what? To save the world through him. Him is Jesus, all right? Now, so understand that God is the God of love. Did not send Jesus to condemn the world. He sent Jesus into this world to save the world. That's the big picture. That God loves you so much that he's willing to give up his son that you might have everlasting life. But don't forget the next verse. This is all big picture stuff. Verse 18 says, whoever believes in him is not condemned. Can someone say hallelujah? Hallelujah. If you believe in him, you're not condemned. But make no mistake about it. The Bible also says, right in that same text, whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Think about that. That every single person on this planet that has never named the name of Jesus stands condemned already. Now, all you have to do is believe and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you'll no longer be condemned. Can you say amen? Here's the big picture. Write this down in your notes. God wants all people to be saved. That's the big picture. He wants all people to be saved. And so he sends his son, Jesus, into this world who dies on a cross for you. He dies on that cross for me. And he dies on that cross for all people. But it's up to people to either receive or reject this gift. So that's the big picture. How many of you think you've got it? All right, how many of you got it? Okay, you got the big picture. So because of that big picture, God, here's what God does. God raises up pastors and preachers and church planters and missionaries and believers who will share the good news of Jesus Christ and warn those who stand condemned so that they might hear the message, the truth of Jesus Christ and his mercy and his grace and put their faith and trust in Jesus. He raises up leaders, and our message is simple. The message is this: come to Jesus. Not come to church, not come to the denomination, not come to some religious organization, but come to Jesus. Now, Ezekiel 33, God calls these people watchmen. Watchmen are people who stand in the gap on behalf of folks who have yet to believe. Watchmen are the folks who have some sense of responsibility. Watchmen are people who just, they just want to help people. They want to protect people. They want to warn people. They want to teach people. They want to point people to Jesus. I heard a funny story about a man whose job, he was a night watchman at a factory, and there were lots of thefts by the workers on the night shift. His job was to stand there at the door and watch all the workers as they left in the morning to check their bags and their pockets to make sure nothing was being stolen. That was his job. One night, a guy walks out with a wheelbarrow full of newspapers, and he just looked suspicious. And the night watchman thought, this guy, he's got all these newspapers. This guy is hiding something in those newspapers. He said, hey, wait just a minute there. Let me check. What are you doing with all these newspapers? And the man said, I recycle newspapers. That's what I do. He goes, every night I come, I go to all the trash bins, I look for all the newspapers that people have thrown away, and I always go to the lunchroom, the workroom. People leave newspapers, and I collect them all, I take them home, and I recycle them, and I use the money for some extra cash. And he said, okay, but he still thought he was suspicious looking, and this went on night after night, day after day, month after month, and the guard would always check, because he always thought something was inside those newspapers, but he never found a thing. One night, a whole year later, a year goes by, the guard gets a note that says, report to your supervisor, you've been fired. Why? What? Why? What did I do? The supervisor says, it was your job to make sure no one stole anything, and you failed, you're fired. He goes, wait a minute, what do you mean I'm failed? No one ever stole anything while I was on guard. And the supervisor says, oh, really? Then how do you account for the fact that there are 365 wheelbarrows missing? If you don't understand that, just explain it to the person. They'll explain that to you. In Ezekiel 33, God uses a parable or analogy of a watchman to deliver one of the most important messages that Israel ever received. The context, everybody say context. Israel is in captivity. They're in Babylon. And the reason they're in captivity, they're enslaved in Babylon, is because they have turned their back on God. And God raises up nations and kingdoms. Some of you don't realize that. But God raises up nations and kingdoms, and Israel had been carried off into Babylon because they had turned their back on him. Now, don't forget the big picture. What is the big picture? God wants all people to be saved. Write this down. God wants all people to turn to him. That's all God wants. I want to ask you just for fun. Do you think that God would love for all of China, 2 billion people, do you think God, in the heart of God, that he would just love if all of China turned their hearts to him? Last week, Ajay Lal was here. He preaches in India. 1.2 billion people live in India. Do you think the heart of God is that everyone living in India would turn their heart to him? How about North Korea? How about everyone living on the North Pole? Santa and all his helpers up there. Do you think God wants all of the Philippines, all of Mexico, all of Russia, all of Germany, all of the United States of America? Do you really believe that God's heart is for all of us to turn our hearts to him, yes or no?
Yes.
How about everyone living in Israel?
Yes.
Yes. We see this in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 10. Here's what the Bible says. Verse 10, Son of man, Ezekiel, say to the house of Israel, he's talking specifically to Israel, this is what you are to say. Our offenses and sins, don't forget they're in captivity, our offenses and our sins weigh us down. We are literally wasting away because of our sin. How then can we live? Verse 11, say to them, here's what I want you to say to Israel, as such as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, big picture stuff here, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The wicked are gonna die, but God says, I want you to know I take no pleasure in that. That's not my heart. I don't desire to see the wicked die. What I desire, rather, that they turn from their ways and live. And God says, turn. Turn, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Oh, I just want you to see this truth, the big picture. God's heart, God's desire was never to punish Israel. That's not what he wanted to do. His desire was for them to turn to him, to repent, to begin to follow him once again with all of their heart. God has one desire for Israel, and ladies and gentlemen, he has one desire for us, that we would turn to him, that we would repent of our evil ways. His desire is that you would run to Jesus. Oh, do not be shocked by the evil in our world, the evil in this country, the United States of America. Our offenses and our sins weigh us down. We are wasting away. The United States of America is wasting away because of our sin. Do you really think that God is going to ignore the fact that we have kicked God out of our schools? Do you think he's going to ignore the fact that we have kicked God out of our government? That we have kicked God out of our lives, we've kicked him out of our marriages. Do you really think that God is going to ignore the fact that we abort over 1 million babies every single year? Do you think God's just gonna look at that and go, hey, that's no big deal? Do you think God's going to ignore the fact that we have glorified pornography and idolatry, that we promote violence? Listen to me. If this nation, the United States of America, if this church, Shepherd Church, if your family is ever destroyed, it is because of our sin, because we have turned our backs on God. And God has one message for Israel and one message for us, that we would turn to him, that we would turn to Jesus. I want everybody to say, turn to Jesus. Point number one, write this down. Get this now. God will always raise up a watchman. He's always gonna have a watchman. God's always gonna raise up a watchman. Amen?
Amen.
In verse one of Ezekiel 33, the word of the Lord came to me. Who's me? Who is me? Ezekiel. I'll ask you, you say Ezekiel. Who is me?
Ezekiel.
He said, the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, and God told Ezekiel, I want you to speak to your countrymen. That's what Ezekiel's job was. God will always raise up a watchman. He'll always raise up an Ezekiel, someone who will stand in the gap on behalf of the people. In the Old Testament, it was the judges and the prophets and the preachers like Samuel and Samson and Hosea and Malachi and Moses. You know Moses and Jeremiah and Isaiah and Elijah and Elisha, because God always raises up a man who will stand in the gap. In the New Testament, if you have your Bibles, it's the pastors, it's the teachers, the evangelists, like the Apostle Paul, and like St. Peter, and Matthew, and Mark, and Luke, and John, and Timothy, and there's a guy in there named Titus. God will always raise up someone to speak on behalf of those who know God and speak to those who need to know God. God will always raise up a watchman. Now, whenever God speaks through the word or through a spokesperson, write this down as quick as you can, all right? The quicker you write this down, the quicker I can get through the sermon. Amen. Why would God ever speak to you or to me? Well, for these reasons. He desires to guide those who are confused. And let me tell you, there are a lot of confused people in this world. He wants to bring order to the chaotic. There's a lot of chaos in this world. He wants to bring peace to those who are conflicted. A lot of people are struggling today. There's a lot of people without peace in our world today. And he wants to bring hope to those who are fearful. And there's a lot of people afraid. There's people in this room afraid. But God desires to bring hope to those who are fearful. And when God speaks, he's trying to bring salvation to those who are lost, to guide the confused, to bring order to the chaotic, to bring peace to the conflicted, to bring hope to the fearful, to bring salvation to the lost. And that is why, ladies and gentlemen, you need to spend time reading your word and studying the word of God. It's why you need to go to church each and every week, so when God's spokesman speaks, that you will be comforted and you'll find hope and peace and order to this chaotic world. I've been watching this television show on TBN called Love Speaks, and it's this guy named Wesley Anderson, Carl Wesley Anderson, and he travels all over the world, and it's a 30-minute show, and he shows how God has spoken, or how God speaks, not just in this generation, but he goes all the way back from the beginning of time. I mean, hundreds of years ago, in the year 300, in the year 500, 500 years before Christ. He goes back and he studies all the moments in the history of our world where God is trying to speak to his people. You want to record something on your recorder at home, record Love Speaks. And God speaks to the heart of man and to the soul of man. His desire, I got to say it again, big picture. His desire is to redeem mankind. His desire is to redeem you. His desire is to redeem me. And his desire is to redeem the person sitting next to you as well. Next week, everybody say next week. We're going to look at this verse in Romans 10:14 that says, how can anyone believe on one in whom they've never heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Well, God raised up a man named Abraham. God raised up a man named Noah. You've heard of Noah. God raised up a man named Moses. You've heard of Moses. God raised up a man named Daniel. You've heard of Daniel. God raised up a woman by the name of Esther. He raised up another woman by the name of Deborah. God raises up all kinds of people. In our generation, God raised up, a John MacArthur, a Jack Hayford, a Jess Moody, a Billy Graham, a Greg Laurie, a Francis Chan, a Dr. David Jeremiah, an Andy Stanley, a Raul Reese, a Jim Garlow, a Tim Yearley. He raised up a man named Jose out there in Agua Dulce. He raised up a man named Chester over there in West Valley. He raised up a woman named Kayla down there in West LA. And I believe in our youth program right here in this church, in our youth program right now, God is raising up the next Billy Graham. I believe that. Right now, God is raising up the next Tim Winters. God is raising up the next Sean Walden. He's raising up the next Michael North. He's raising up the next Christine Miller. He's raising up the next Dusty Frizzell. He's raising up the next Matt Proctor. He's raising up the next Ajay Law. He's raising up the next Miles McPherson. I believe right now we have young people right now from this church and Bible college like Christian Clark and Michael Johnson and Caleb Walden, young men. You don't even know these people. But right now in these Bible colleges, God is taking people from this church, young people that grew up in this church, he's raising them to lead the next generation. God will always raise up a watchman. On a count of three, I want you to say the word always. One, two, three.
Always.
He will always raise up the next watchman. Number two, write this down. If the watchman, everybody say if, does his or her job, their hands will be what? Clean. How many of you notice this wall up here? Oh, yeah, I'm going up here. I got my Bible. You like the wall? Guess what I am right here? I'm representing a watchman. And on the screen behind me, you can see all the people. Because that's what a watchman does. He sits on the wall. And his job is to do what? His job is to watch and to warn, lest the enemy comes and destroys the people behind the wall. I want you to look at verse 2 again. God says these words, when I bring the sword against the land, and the people of the land, that would be you, choose one of their men and make him their watchman. Now let me ask you this question. How many of you, when you choose a watchman to stand on the wall on your behalf, you want him to be dependable? You don't want him falling asleep. You want him standing at his post and being faithful. You want him to be diligent. How many of you want your watchman to pay attention? I would think so. Verse 3, this watchman that you've selected, he sees the sword coming against the land and he blows the what? The trumpet to do what? I've got a trumpet right here, ram's horn. You ready? I've not really practiced this. How many of you want a watchman that knows how to blow the trumpet? That could be bad. Amen. So he sees the sword coming, verse 3, and he blows, sees the sword coming, and he blows the trumpet to warn the people, verse 4. If anyone hears the trumpet, how many of you heard that? But he does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes his life. You heard the trumpet, you did nothing about it, and you lose your life. The Bible says his blood will be on his own head. You're bad. Since, verse 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet, as bad as it was, he did not take warning, his blood will be on his own head. If he had taken warning, he would have saved himself. Now, this is true every single day. How many times have you been warned, don't text and drive? How many of you ever heard that phrase? Well, if you text and you drive and you crash and you die, that's on you because you heard the warning. How many of you ever heard, don't drink and drive? Don't do drugs and drive? How many of you know that when there's a hurricane, there's always a warning, get out. When the fires come, there was a warning, get out. When the rains came, there's going to be rains come. There's going to be mudslides. That's the next big thing. They're going to say, get out. And there's always people who stay. Always. It's on them. Now look at verse 6. But if the watchman sees the sword coming, and he does not blow the trumpet to warn the people. Now, I don't know why he doesn't. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's not paying attention. Maybe he was just up on that wall juggling. I don't know what he was doing up there. But he does not blow the trumpet, and the sword comes and takes the life of just one person. Now, a lot of people don't understand this, but pay attention. The watchman sees the sword coming, does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes a life. Let's just say one person dies. The Bible says that man, what man is that? The man that died will be taken away because of his sin. What is he talking about? What he's saying here is that if you die, if the watchman doesn't blow the trumpet, and the enemy comes and you die, it's still on you, is what he's saying there. What he's saying there is no one is without excuse. You can't, when you stand before God, you cannot say, well, no one ever told me about Jesus Christ. Or I went to church one time and I got offended and I never went back, so it's the church's fault. There's so many hypocrites in the church. I just chose not to go. You have no excuse. It says, notice what it says. If the sword comes and takes the life of just one of them, that man is going to be taken away because of his sin. If you do not make it to heaven, it's because of your sin. No man is without excuse. You have no excuses whatsoever. You can't say, well, God, I you should let me in because I worked down there with those people at that church for 20 years. Not one person ever invited me to church. It's too bad. If you die in your sin and you don't make it, it's going to be on you for that. However, now God, this is in the Bible, I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood. Now, preacher, what does that mean? I'm not sure. I really don't know what that means. I think what it means is that if someone dies, that I know that I have failed to talk to them about Jesus Christ, that in some way, yes, they died and they end up hell on their own account, but somehow God sees me as not doing the job that he called me to do. And that's why it doesn't matter where I go, if I'm out cycling on my bike or if I'm at a game or I'm at lunch or I'm hanging out and I meet someone in the coffee shop, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. If I meet someone, I always try to tell them about Jesus Christ because God put me as a watchman on the wall. Amen? Point three, write this down. If the watchman fails at his or her job, the watchman's hands are guilty. That's the point I just made to you. You got that? So you got both points? Point two and point three. You got both points. All right, let's go to point four quickly. This message, are you ready for this? This message is not just for Ezekiel. This message about the watchman is for all of Israel. I will explain. Look at verse 7. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of who? Israel. So hear the word that I speak, God, and I want you to give them, who's them? I want you to explain. He's been talking to Ezekiel. He goes, now I want you to explain this to Israel, to them. I want you to give them this warning. And here's the warning in verse 8. A lot of people misunderstand this verse. When I say to the wicked, and the wicked would be anyone who's not following God, amen? When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you, Israel, God's people, do not speak out to dissuade him from his wicked ways. That wicked man, just like what I told you, that wicked man is still going to die for his own sin. But I will hold you, Israel, accountable for his what? His blood. Verse 9. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, then he does not do so. He will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. The point is this. It's not just Ezekiel's job. It's Israel's job. Because Israel is God's people. And God wanted God's people to stand on the gap, in the gap on behalf of people who are not God's people. And so in the Bible, and I don't have time to go on this, but all of Israel, whenever you talk about Israel, it is in some ways a picture of the church. And so I guess I want to say this to you. It's not just Dudley's job to stand in the gap. It's all of our jobs to stand in the gap. This year is the year our theme is the certainty of eternity. Last month, the month was 1 month to live. This month is the harvest is plentiful. And we're going to take up a Thanksgiving offering. And inside your bulletin, there's an insert and there's an offering envelope. And we're going to take up an offering in just a moment. And I'm asking you to give sacrificially. Some of you came not prepared. That's okay. Chill. You can come next week. Amen? And I just want you to know that our Thanksgiving offering today, part of it is going to go, this insert will tell you where that offering is going to go. Part of it's going to go to Bible College, where Matt Proctor preached here, and that college is preparing future leaders. That college prepared me to lead this church. And year after year, they're graduating young men and women who are becoming the leaders of the future generations of this country. Part of this money is going to go to Ajay Law, who spoke last week in India. I don't know anyone who's doing as much as Ajay Law is doing. Part of it's going to go to the 30 cities. We've been talking about this all year long. I want you to know that we've already done church plants this year. We've helped start churches in Paris, France, in New York City, Lagos, Nigeria. And with this offering, we're going to be a part of starting a church in Osaka, Japan, in Istanbul, Turkey, and in Thousand Oaks, California. These 30 cities we've already sent this year. We've sent out mission teams to China, to South Korea, to Brazil, to Russia, to Peru, to India, to Mexico City, and the Philippines. And right now, while I'm speaking, we have a group from this church in Dubai. They're there right now. Next week, I will share a little bit about our television ministry and our satellite. We're on satellite radio all around the world. It will give you goosebumps if you realize that the messages that are preached from this church travel around the entire globe through our media department. Inside your bulletin, on that insert, there's a story of a guy named Miles, who I met last Sunday. Miles was someone that our mission team met when they went to Beijing. He started watching us online. And he's been watching for a long time, and he decided, you know what, I got to go meet Pastor Dudley. I want to meet this church. And he was here last Sunday. He traveled over 6,000 miles from Beijing. Our mission team met him, introduced him to Shepherd, and he was baptized, and he's involved in an underground church there in China. But he traveled last Sunday. He came all the way from Beijing here just to check this church out. He just couldn't believe how great this church is. And today, I want to ask you, I'm asking you to climb up on this wall and to be a watchman on behalf of those who've never heard the gospel. We're going to look at this next week. I want to show you the verse, Romans 10:14. How can anyone believe if in one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? I want us to pray and take up this offering, and then I'm going to give you the last point. So don't anybody leave. Amen? Let's pray. I'm going to ask the ushers to get in place. And again, many people are here today prepared for this offering, which is really above and beyond our regular offering. But let's pray. God, I pray your blessing on this church and this message and on your people on every campus, Agua Dulce, West Valley, West LA, Porto Ranch. God, from these walls, I ask that God's people would stand in the gap, and every single penny above our regular tithes and offering are going to be used to lift up Jesus before the entire world. And I ask God that you would speak to our hearts, help us to give the largest gift we could possibly give. And then God, that you would multiply what's given, and it would be used to sow seeds into the kingdom of God. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.